The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Whether you're a pistachio purist who loves the experience of cracking them open, or you love the convenience of no-shell pistachios like myself, Wonderful Pistachios is the perfect healthy snack for when hunger strikes. And there are a bunch of tasty flavors to choose from too, like honey roasted, smoky barbecue, jalapeno lime, and more. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
What's up, everybody? Listen, Ashley Nicole Moss here. I got Omar Kelly in the building, Brandon Marshall sitting next to me. Anton Walker is going to pull up in a little bit. Before we get into the breaking news of the evening,
whoa, why be a little bit? I've been here.
Oh, you're here?
I've been here.
I can't see you.
Oh, no. I no video today.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, listen. Okay. Let me rephrase
Antoine's laying in his king-size bed during the radio show.
Antoine is in the building. I just can't see
I'm having technical difficulty. Cannot detect your camera. Please check device. I might have some difficulties, but I'm here, though.
Okay.
I'm doing great.
All right. Well, listen, consider yourself lucky because you're about to dodge the smoke I'm about to hand out right now. OK, so we're in the studio right now. I have been working all day. I've been working out, running around like I normally do. And every single man in this studio right now is eating a delicious platter of sushi. They ordered it before the show started. And guess who did not get a plate? Your girl, the only woman on the panel, okay, did not get sushi for dinner. No one even thought about me. Nobody even suggested asking if I wanted any. And then they proceed to open it up and eat it in front of me. So chivalry is dead, ladies. I'm just going to let you know. Well, actually, it's not. Shout out to one of our producers, Ed. He offered me a roll of his, but he's the only one with manners, apparently. So.
Listen, well, you know what? That's on us.
It is.
I apologize. It starts with me. what I was told was in your rider, okay, for people out there that may not know what a rider is, because I'm learning this stuff too, being in Hollywood now. A rider is like where these high profile people, divas, they send in to, any type of producers like, hey, when I come on set, this is what I need. That's where you hear those stories of like, I just need all yellow Skittles or M&Ms or something. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I heard that your rider was every time you sit down, you needed a shake.
I just want to go on record. Every time Shady McCoy gets sushi, he asks me if I want some. Just want to put that out there.
Shady McCoy. Shady.
And Ed is witness. He's been in the studio when Shady has gotten me sushi, and he asks me all the time, do you want sushi? I'm about to order. So I don't know, Brandon.
Okay, real quick, before we move on to, the breaking news and the hot topics of the day. A couple days ago, maybe this weekend, you posted on your Instagram. You're awesome on Instagram, by the way. Follow.
I feel like a shot's coming. Uh-oh.
No, but like I love following you on Instagram. It's really entertaining. But something happened this weekend. It was like date night.
Oh,
it was very
wow!
Like, it said date night. Wow. I'm like, whoa! Who is this guy?
Who are you putting me on blast with right now? Moving on.
Hold on.
No,
you put it out there. Who's this guy?
It's like, not a guy. I was on a friend date, a girl date. One of my best friends, Anna. She was leaving to Italy. She's on a plane right now, heading to Italy for 2 weeks. So we had a nice little dinner date. I am not gonna put my status out there, but let's just say the phone line is dry over here.
It's dry. Okay.
Yeah, it's dry. But free agency is, we're going into a new season, rosters are changing, who knows? Anyway, moving on. Speaking of roster changes, you see how I did that segue? Donovan Mitchell is headed to Cleveland. Yes. You guys heard that correctly. Per Woj, Utah is trading Donovan Mitchell to Cleveland for a bunch of players, including Colin Sexton, three unprotected first round picks and two pick swaps. Now, this came out of left field because I don't know if you guys remember, but Cleveland was supposedly out on the Donovan Mitchell acquisition. The Knicks also, that trade talk, those trade talks constantly fell through. And today at a random hour, it was reported that Donovan Mitchell is indeed headed to Cleveland. Now, Colin Sexton, who's now headed to Utah, will be signing a four-year, $72 million fully guaranteed contract via the sign and trade to Utah. Now, this is interesting. Obviously, Rudy Gobert went ahead and set the trade market on fire. Donovan Mitchell went ahead and tweeted out a couple exclamation points to Darius Garland's tweet, but I'm interested on what you guys think of the acquisition and Donovan Mitchell. And listen, Twan, I'm going to start with you. Also, I want to ask you this. You know, it was one of the critiques of Donovan Mitchell and Jalen Brunson, if he were to go to the New York Knicks, how small that backcourt would be. But Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell are the same size backcourt. Any concerns about how he's going to fit into what Cleveland has going on? And do you even like the trade?
I love the trade. To answer your first part about the size part, that doesn't bother me. You don't have to worry about size when you got 2 7-footers behind you, mm-hmm. and Jared Allen and obviously and Mobley. So when you got those two guys behind you, size doesn't matter at the guard position, because those guys are back there to protect you. But I love this trade. You saw two teams that are small market teams. That it's very hard for both of those teams to acquire superstars. Mm-hmm. They have to build through the draft. They have to make big trades like this to be able to add a superstar. And I love the fact that Cleveland did this, because now you add to what you've already started. Cleveland was the ninth team in the Eastern Conference last year. They made the play-in situation. They won 44 games. The East is really tough now. Donovan may get them. You probably can add a plus six. Probably gets them to 50 wins now if they can stay healthy with a Donovan. Because you also got to factor into their roster. They got Caris LeVert. They got LeVert as well. So now they got another guy who can score the basketball. Obviously, Darius Garland becoming an all-star. So I like the makeup of their team. They had to make a move. I know they gave up a lot to get Mitchell. But you have to make
more. They got fleeced, as we say in the hood. They got fleeced.
Yeah, you got, but you have to do that in these type of markets. It's going to be very difficult for them to go into the free agency market and land a superstar. So I love the aggressiveness, taking advantage that you got two nice young players in Garland and Mobley, and you want to continue to build around them. So I like the move, and Utah is obviously putting themselves in the position to hopefully one day land another, you know, Donovan Mitchell or Rudy Gobert. I mean, they just got 13 picks now. I mean, they're loaded with some talent. You know, I love Colin Sexton. I was wondering what his situation was going to be. I'm excited that he got a deal. I think he deserves it after coming off injury. So I think both sides is a great deal.
Brandon digests the sushi that he didn't offer me. I'm going to pose this question to the panel. You know, obviously every single season you try to get better, and the East is no longer the stepchild of the NBA, right? The teams are constantly getting better, and Boston's always going to be, well, at least for the next few years, going to be at that top, you know, one of those top teams. You look at Miami always getting better. The Hawks got better. So a lot of teams have gone through the motions of the dark ages and are now, you know, seeing the rewards of that. When you trade a lot of your picks, you know, you kind of lose your ability to go ahead and make moves through the draft, right? Obviously, you can always go ahead, free agency trades and things like that, but that requires you to blow up your team. Any concern, Brandon, I'll go to you first, that they gave up too much for Donovan Mitchell when he is not going to be the only thing that helps them win a championship? They're not a championship team with Donovan Mitchell. The team still needs work. Are you concerned that they gave up too much to get him and now can't continue to build?
That's why you are who you are. Brilliant question. And it gives me an opportunity to really push back on Antoine. I don't know what Antoine is talking about when he's saying this is a win-win.
Okay.
How is this a win-win? Like, to your point, the Cavs, they're not a championship team now. You got the Heat, you got the Celtics, you got the Bucks, you got the 76ers, who I believe James Harden's going to have a tremendous year. You got the Raptors and the Bulls, and you got the Nets,
right? The Hawks, could they potentially take a jump, right? So to me, the Cavaliers didn't get better.
They stayed somewhat the same.
They stayed the same, right? And like Twan said, they finished, they went into the playoff, play-in, and then they finished number nine, mm-hmm. ninth in the East. They didn't get better. So if I'm Donovan Mitchell here, with who I text, I messaged him, I said, Champ, is this what you wanted, bro? And he just texts back, let's go. So he must be excited. Now,
Donovan's also a man of few words, so.
Right. Well, we're going to get him on the show. He said once this deal gets done, he's going to come on. He wants to do the sit down with us, right? But so like Twan, Ashley, no, this is not a win-win. The Cavs didn't get better. And
well, they got slightly better.
No, they got Donovan Mitchell,
right?
But now,
are you finished?
Who else do they have? Who else do they have?
All right, are you finished?
But is it safe to say, you know, that they've surpassed that ninth seed? Now they can actually be a play. Now this is no longer a playing team.
Okay, so they're going to barely make it to the playoffs and they're going to lose the first round.
I won't say that now, but this is no longer a playing team. This is now a true playoff contender. Are they a championship contender? No. I think that the team still has some holes that they would have to fill in order to be in that position. But it's definitely no longer, they definitely have surpassed a playing team with the acquisition of Donovan Mitchell. Twan, go ahead.
Well, Brandon, I don't mind you disagreeing with me, but you got to make sense of it. You're not making sense of it. When you make a trade, you don't make a trade because you're trying to win a championship. They're trying to, and that's a small market team that don't have an opportunity sometimes to get all-stars, to be in the free agent market for guys. They got an opportunity. This guy, Donovan Mitchell, is young. He's 25 years old. He has 3 years left on his deal guaranteed, which is a four-year deal as a player option at the end. You're playing for now. You got Mobley, who was great this year. You had an all-star come out this year now, and Darius Garland. You want to build on this. Hopefully one day you can get to championship level. But, yes, they're in the playoffs. They're going to be in the playoffs. They won 44 games last year. They were the ninth seed. They're probably right now, I'll probably have them as the sixth best team in the East. The East is tough now. The East is back. You got 10 teams in there that are going to be very competitive. What? This is going to be it's all about who can be healthy. One thing now about the East is be about who can be healthy consistently throughout the whole season. And that's what the team that's going to probably come out the East, because now you're talking about if Ben Simmons comes back and be anywhere close to Ben Simmons, the conversation changes completely about the Eastern Conference. So it's going to be a great league. They had to make a move. They couldn't afford to wait on keeping draft picks and hoping that down the line, waiting on these guys. You got to make an impactful move. They made an impactful move. They'll go from 44 wins to probably 48 to 50 wins. That'll get them the fifth or sixth seed in the East.
Okay.
That'll put you right in the mix.
But there's something that you said that I'm confused by, because you said you were talking about building, you know, build upon, right? And this is you said that this is not a championship team, which I agree with you. And this is a small market. How do you build when you don't have any picks? How do you build when you went
you
ahead?
Look at their age group. Who they draft? Do you know the players they're gonna get?
Here's my thing.
Who cares
though
about the picks? You don't care what the picks is.
I agree with the ideology of a small market team doesn't always have the opportunity to get a superstar or a star. Let's call it a star. Donovan Mitchell's not quite a superstar. He's a star, right?
He's just a four-time All-Star. He's a superstar.
He's a three-time All-Star, but okay.
Yeah, he's a superstar. How many times you got to make it before you become a superstar?
He's not. There's superstars in the NBA, but Donovan Mitchell's not quite one yet. But that's different conversation. He's a star. I don't put him in the category. I put Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Luca, and I don't put him in that category.
He just got traded for a whole lot. I don't know what the hell he is, but goddamn, they just got.
I just call it how it is.
He just got traded for a whole lot. So for another superstar,
Rudy Gobert, is he a superstar?
He's an all-star. He's an all-star.
But is he a superstar? Rudy Gobert was traded for the house in the backyard.
He got paid for five draft picks. This guy got traded for picks and players.
I know. Rudy Gobert got traded for picks and players as well.
All players are going to get bought out.
But
all players that are gonna get bought. The guy that got traded for got a $72 million deal at the same time he got traded. Larry Marketing has another 4 years left on his deal. Who's gonna be there? Their first round draft pick, lottery pick, number 14. I cannot pronounce his name right, so I don't want to be embarrassed and do that. But the guard that was at Kansas last year. They drafted 14 Cleveland, was included in trade. I'm sorry for not being able, I don't want to butcher his name. But that they traded for players and picks. It's a difference when you talk about levels of players.
For the most part, you always trade for players and picks. So I'm not worried about that. My only thing is going back to what you said about building upon. And yes, they're not a championship team. I agree with you. Small market teams don't always have the opportunity to get stars. I agree with that as well. But then what was the ideology behind it? If you're not going to be a championship team, then trading picks and players for a star that's not going to win you a championship, I don't understand the rationale behind that.
Let me ask you a question. If you're running the team, just say you was a GM on the team. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your goal is to bring a championship there.
Of course.
But if you can't bring a championship there, you want to put on the floor the most competitive team that you could put on the floor and give yourself a chance.
Absolutely, but
that's the difference. That's what's wrong with us and people sometimes in the media, and we create all these different things about teams and force guys to lose jobs, and we write these big. Sometimes everybody not. It's not about a championship all the time. Mm-hmm. It's nothing wrong with putting a solid product on the floor and being a good playoff team every year and giving your fans something to cheer about. You hope to make it. But to win a championship, it's a lot of components got to go into winning the championship. You got to be lucky. You got to stay healthy. All those things, you don't know those things. But if I can put together a group of guys that can be competitive, that can compete, and sometimes the matchup may not go our way or it may go our way. I want to do that.
So think about Cleveland.
They won 44 games.
I understand what you're saying, but I still don't necessarily agree with doing a haul to do that. It's one thing if it's a one pick, two players that really don't make or break your team. But if the goal is just to put a good product on the floor and to be somewhat competitive, you don't need to haul your team to do that. And
In the East, you have to do that. The East is no longer the Eastern Conference. They have to do that. It was major moves made this offseason in the Eastern Conference, if you guys haven't paid attention. The Sixers made big moves, adding P.J. Tucker to their roster. Let's go back also and think about what they're left.
Do you put the Cavs on the same level you put the 76ers, Boston, Miami teams that have made moves?
I said you got to be able to compete. You have to be able to compete. They want to compete. To be in the Eastern Conference, you have to compete. And eventually, you got to build a roster that can beat those teams.
Yeah, but that's the thing right there is what you keep saying, build.
But you have to build. What do y'all want to do? You want them to sit back? They got an opportunity to acquire Donovan Mitchell. I'm not worried about 225. I'm not worried about 227 and 29. I got some young talent that go alongside him that can produce winning games. We can win games.
Okay, but I get the whole
thing. Y'all keep talking about championship.
Because my thing is like, I think in longevity, it's the reason the Knicks didn't haul their entire team to get Donovan Mitchell. If you want to go back a few years.
The Knicks are going to win 27 games this year.
Wait, Twan, hold on a second.
Can we get a caller, Anthony? Pernell, because like this is heated. This turned into the Ashley Nicole Moss and Antoine Mr. Shitty Walker show. Let me ask you a question, Ashley. Hold on, let me just finish this thought.
Go back to what the Knicks did with Carmelo Anthony. They hold their entire team to get a star. Is Carmelo Anthony a superstar? No, I put him on the same tier I would put Donovan Mitchell, especially back then. They hauled their entire team to get him. And what happened? Did Carmelo make them better? But he made them better for
It doesn't matter if you miss a fake. That wasn't because they didn't have any picks. It's because they had one player and had nothing to build upon when he left. You remember 3 years ago they had cap space and Kevin Durant said no. Kyrie Irving said no. They had cap space.
But that's a different conversation. We're talking about hauling a team to get a particular player. And then what happens if Donovan Mitchell, let's play devil's advocate. What happens if Donovan Mitchell 3 years from now says, I don't want to stay in Cleveland? Then what? Then your team is back at zero because you know what you do? Your, you put all your assets.
You know what you do?
Who's not going to be there for much longer?
No, you know what you do. You hope Donovan Mitchell is still playing at a very, very high level, and then you know what you do. You move him. You make a trade for him, and you get something back in return, and you start over again. But I'm gonna take my ride with my 3 years. It's the same thing. Every team. This is about you. Got to win now. The Knicks won 37. Let me say something. The Knicks won 30. The Knicks won 37. You know the Knicks won 37 games last year. You know they was in the 11th spot. Tell me right now, with the way the Knicks rosters can, we can make a little. Me and you, you project what the Knicks record is gonna be this year. Let's go. Let's make a prediction. Since they,
I'm not gonna predict.
Hold on. No. You said it was a great. You said the Knicks did a good job by not giving up all their assets.
I stand by that. I don't think you have 8 first round picks and you go ahead and you give up 6 of them for one
eight,
guy.
888-623-3646 I want a caller to call.
I've seen that storyline before. The Carmelo Anthony. You don't give up young players under the age of 25 and multiple picks for one guy that's not moving the championship needle. You're not winning a chip with him. I'm sorry.
There you go again. You keep talking about championships.
It's only certain teams
that can make a move for a championship. These teams know they're not winning the championship.
All right, we have a caller. I think it's George from Canada.
Oh, hey, Canada.
Can we bring in George from Canada? Are you there, George?
Yeah, I am. Hello. How's it going?
Hey, hi.
Hey, so you're the referee. We have Ashley Nicole Moss in this corner wearing the blue trunks. And you have Antoine, Mr. Shimmy Walker, in the other corner wearing underwear because he's laying in his bed right now.
My screen don't work. Go ahead.
Perspective on this. All this talk, Donovan Mitchell this, Donovan Mitchell that, Cleveland that. What's your perspective, George, from Canada?
Listen, I think, Antoine, I think you're right. I think you got to go for it. I think, you know, Cleveland, I mean, where do they finish if they don't make this move, right? Do they keep staying maybe in the middle of the pack? They get, like, the 14th, 15th pick. You know, it's not going to do anything for them, right? They're not going to be in a position to get any player, I think, of Donovan Mitchell's quality through the draft. I think at some point, small market team, I think they've got a good core. Mitchell's like young enough to be there, hopefully with some success. He re-signs, maybe you get another free agent. I think you got to go. I think at some point you can't just sit there and not do anything. I just think this was their time. I like the move. Is it a lot to give up? 100%, but you got to go for it. I mean, look at Toronto, when we won the championship. I mean, we went for it, right? I don't think Toronto was the best team that year, but man, some things fell in place. We got a bit lucky and we won the championship, right? So I think, Antoine, you're right. I think at this point, this moment, you just got to put all your chips in and go for it.
The only thing I disagree with was Toronto was definitely a champion. Definitely a championship team.
Thanks, George.
What? With Kawhi Leonard?
Thanks, George, from Canada. I love your perspective. We're getting back to the show. It's a heated debate right now between Ashley, Nicole Moss, and Antoine, Mr. Shimmy Walker. Both of y'all wrong. I'm the one that's right up here.
How are we both wrong? We're saying two drastically different things.
I know, I'm just saying.
We'll double back on this after the breaks. We'll dive into the Knicks a little bit. But the only thing is, Twan, I think we're saying somewhat the same thing and somewhat different things. I know it's not a championship team, and I agree with you. You can't always get a Donovan Mitchell. My only thing is what is the expectation? If it was just to move up to be a actual playoff team and make the playoffs consistently every year, then great, cool. But if you were trying to actually build a team that was going to have longevity, I just feel like that necessarily wasn't the move because Donovan Mitchell may not stay in Cleveland. And then what happens? Then your team is back where you started from when you were building towards a foundation, when you were building towards
a team that can be a continuity.
That's the only thing that I'm not understanding is what exactly is the goal for the team.
I agree with you on that. It's different, but I see when you make this type of move, and I just look at what they have in place. I know it's not championship level yet. They didn't make the move and jump into the top four. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they didn't do that. But also, I don't think organizations like the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Utah Jazz, can afford to wait. You're looking at the Knicks. That's I'm true. Just telling you, the Knicks, and that's what I'm saying about the Knicks. You won 37 games last year. Your big splash was Jalen Brunson.
You gotta keep rubbing it in, Twan. I heard you the first
time. I know, but your big splash was Jalen Brunson. And don't get me wrong, I like Jalen. I think he's a very good player. He can be a good piece to a puzzle. Right. But that's your big splash. I would have rather made the splash with Donovan Mitchell. That's all I'm saying.
Donovan Mitchell wasn't going to move the needle for us. That wasn't going to take us. The team was still going to need work. I'd rather the Knicks make a small move in a bigger game plan than make a big move in a game plan that's not going to really make the team drastically better. The goal for every organization is a championship.
Okay, I like that, but it's no big move when you named it earlier, when you talk about the elite superstars of the game. Right. Those guys, and we just saw Kevin Durant, those guys are probably not going anywhere. So you're not going to have an opportunity to get them. So I don't know what your end game, what the Knicks can possibly be when you got a guy come up and you got an opportunity to get them. You don't worry. Now, if you worry about your future, who's going to come? It's no big free agent. All these guys are locked up.
But stars get disgruntled every day, Twan. You know how that works. Someone wants to trade every other season.
But Kevin Durant's situation probably changed the scope of that.
Don't nobody want to go to Cleveland. That's why I said, like, for Donovan Mitchell, it doesn't make sense, man. You know, what stars are going to go to Cleveland? LeBron James was the only one. LeBron James don't even want to be there long term. Other factors.
Donovan Mitchell has played the last five years in Utah. I'm pretty sure he's happy going to Cleveland. That's an upgrade.
I'd rather be in the mountains. No, let me stop.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Welcome back to the Lion's Den, everybody. Ashley Nicole Moss, Brandon Marshall, Anton Walker. And before we get to the callers, because we have a bunch from what I can see, Brandon, the floor is yours to rebuttal and anything else you'd like to do. So go right ahead.
You sure?
Go ahead. The floor is yours.
I mean, y'all talking about Spider Mitchell and the A block, and y'all totally.
The floor is yours. Go ahead.
And now we talk about Lamar. Now I'm ready to get into my Stephen A. take.
Go ahead.
Colin Cowherd type. You know, high level conversation stuff. And then you're like, we got to go to break.
Bill's got to get paid. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Okay. So, Anton Walker.
Go ahead. I'm listening. So,
like I was saying, you're right about guarantee. It's a brutal sport. You got to get your money. And guarantee is the only thing that matters. However, our challenge and our problem as athletes is we're too emotional. It's too personal. Right. We're in a $16 billion industry. And before I move forward, are we in a business, Antoine? Is the NFL, the NBA, is this a business?
1,000%.
OK, it's a business. So we're in this $16 billion business and we come into it carrying, oh, I got to buy my mom a house, which we all do. I did it. But that's what drives us. And that's a good thing. But then we get there and we're also thinking about like, man, I'm trying to get out the hood. I'm trying to overcome all these obstacles. And then the money comes and then we start messing up the business because it's too emotional. I said this on the Joe Budden podcast on Monday. I said, one of the things that I've learned over my journey is that you got to take the emotion out of money. And when it comes to athletes, It's personal for us. For me personally, it saved my life. Football saved my life. It changed the trajectory and the whole landscape of my entire family, from my mom all the way down to my kids' kids' kids. Right? That's a big deal.
We off the grid, grid, grid.
But then when you think about, like, we're in a business, why we can't just do real good business? Meaning, if we're in the Silicon Valley and this is the tech industry, right? There's certain, like, best practices in place. Hey, if you built a company and then you want to sell it, the industry standard is 10X. That's what you're going to get on your company. If you generate $100 million in revenue, that is a $1 billion company, okay? Because it's 10X. That's the multiple on a tech company, on a software company. If you're in brick and mortar, if you got a product, a lot of times it's 5X, right? So I'm saying that, and I'm using it as an example because there's best practices and there's things that have been in place for generations. So now we're in football. Now we're in basketball. Now we got to say, you know what? Let's just take the best deal that they've given us. No. The standard is the standard. The standard is, this is the market. The market is that we're paying Aaron Rodgers $50 million. Russell Wilson gets $49 million a year. Kyler Murray, sitting at number three, $46 million a year. Deshaun Watson, $46 million a year. And then you have Patrick Mahomes sitting there, who is probably the best quarterback, who has the greatest upside of all of them. He's not even number one. He's making $45 million a year. So now Lamar Jackson is sitting here. Lamar Jackson, from a template standpoint, a structure standpoint, should be looking at this deal and saying, well, if Aaron Rodgers is at 50, then I should be at 50 or 51. Because my job, what the standard should be from best practices in sports is reset the market. Because if he was on an open market, guess what? The Dolphins may be so desperate, they might give his ass $60 million. And Cleveland, look what Cleveland did. Cleveland Browns was so desperate that they went and did what with Deshaun Watson? He's not even playing 11 games this year, right? So
is football a sport where you can gamble like that? No, football is not a sport that you gamble like that. And let me ask you another question, Brandon. You was a free agent several times in your career, correct?
No, I never was. I always because of business. For me, I'm not going.
There you go again.
Let me tell you. Let me tell you why. You asked.
So when you got traded and moved to another spot, you was always under contract.
Yes, because I would never let the team let me go to 1 year left in my deal, because now I take on all the risks. A good deal is a fair deal, and a good deal is where both sides take on all the risks. As a player, if I'm going into a lame duck year, I get hurt, to your point, now I don't get that extension.
Well, you shouldn't be giving Lamar Jackson advice then.
Because you've never
been in that situation.
You've never
been in the situation that he's in, so you can't give him solid advice. Because telling him to try to set the market, it's his job to set the market, is not solid advice.
Well, listen, speaking of Cleveland, we're gonna go to Greg from Cleveland, because he says both of you guys are right. I don't know how that's possible, right. but he says both of you guys are right. So, Greg, welcome to the show. Go ahead and state your claim.
All right. Well, actually, when I called in, the subject you were on was about the trade with Donovan Mitchell.
Okay, so go ahead then. My fault. You mean me and Antoine are both right?
What'd you say? I'm sorry, Nicole.
You mean me and Antoine are both right? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. There were good points that you both made. I hated giving up what we gave up as far as in the trade, because if you look at the numbers, Sexton's numbers are not too much different from Donovan's numbers. Lauri Markkanen, he was part of our ID as far as that height that we had, that advantage, plus that shooting. You can't teach too many big men to shoot like that. And then Abadji, I think he's going to be a really nice player. Now, usually Trader Danny Ames, he usually gets pretty good deals in trades. And when he's eyeing players, he usually wins those trades. And he's got over on those once before. But what I wanted to point out, the good thing about Donovan is you add another all-star, and all-stars attract other all-stars. You know, we don't know.
Not in Cleveland, unless you LeBron James. I'm sorry.
Well, let's put it like this. Evan Mobley, we do not know if he seems like the kind of guy like Tim Duncan that's going to be content to play. But you never know. He might change and decide, hey, I need more talent. I need more talent. And mm-hmm. you got a guy like Donovan Mitchell coming in and adding to, with Darius Garland and our backcourt. It that kind of talent will bring in more talent. You know, you're acting like Cleveland, like nobody wants to come here.
I went to All Star Weekend. I worked All Star Weekend in Cleveland. Nobody wants to go there.
You worked the All Star Weekend, the most recent one where we had the bad weather. But the other All Star, the 51, everybody loved Cleveland. We had the great weather during the winter. So I mean, it all depends on what you're dealing with at that particular time. What you say? We got nice restaurants now. Nice. And if you've been here lately, you would know that.
Oh,
you would know
there's that one to say. Hey, you probably know, Twan, that one restaurant that everybody go to is a steakhouse.
Thank you so much, Greg, from Cleveland. I appreciate it.
Hey, Greg, listen, I'm not like those guys. I don't have a problem with Cleveland. It's a Midwest. It's cool. I have no problem with it. I'm not like those guys.
So go move Twan. Yeah. Give up your condo in Miami and go move to Cleveland.
Oh, he's in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
He got a beautiful view.
Go ahead and give up your condo in Chi-Town and go move to Cleveland then. Thank you so much, Craig. Greg, I appreciate it. Listen, we have another caller, Corey from Washington, where he says, listen, Super Bowl or bust. Let's hear his take. Russell Wilson, give me your thoughts.
Hey, what up? Hey, I love you guys' show.
Be careful.
I just want to say, I don't think it's really Super Bowl or bust.
Hold on, Corey. Be careful what you say about Russell Wilson.
You know that's
show.
His BFF, so
all
be
right,
careful.
Because I got my finger right here.
I think more so the Bills, Chargers, they're more built Super Bowl or bust. I think they're just going to be competitive and try to build around them. I don't think Sutton's that guy. That's just my thoughts on that. And then I just want to say I got to go soon. But, hey, I'm calling it right now. Damian Pierce, Offensive Rookie of the Year. Hey, go Texans. Love the show, guys.
Thank you, brother. I like that.
And last, Canada is alive and well on the show today. Doug from Canada, Russell Wilson's deal. He wants to sound off about that. Doug, what's up? Welcome to the show.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, bud.
Hey, good to see you folks are doing so well with your relatively new show, and I enjoy listening to you folks. But two quick things. It's an interesting topic because I'm a 49er fan, and I'm a Raven fan. So,
nice.
Interesting. You're talking about Russell Wilson, which I'm thankful he went to Denver. Breathe a sigh of relief for the 49ers because he kills us. Right. And secondly, I agree with the fellow that said that Lamar should think way down the road. Don't set the bar, Lamar. You set the bar by winning Super Bowl, so get comfortable, look after your grandkids, dude. Go out there and ball, and God love you, and don't get hurt.
Hold on. Thank you.
I think Twan hired these callers.
Yeah, right. Let me lay this out. Let me lay this out, because, you know, that gets us back to Lamar, okay? So he's going to make $23 million this year, like, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets franchised.
If he doesn't come to it,
40-something million.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they do it again, then he's talking about 60-something million or 50-something million. I forget the numbers. But
around that, roughly.
So at the quarterback position, you know, you can bounce back. If it was running back, it'd be a different conversation,
mm-hmm.
different story. Safety, different, right? Mm-hmm. Even a wide receiver position is different. But we're talking about Lamar. He was hurt already. He got hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happened. He still got the leverage. He's still in position where
He sprained his ankle, Brandon. He sprained his ankle. It's a different type of injury. He missed four games. He played 13 games.
My point is, what it sounds like they offered him, right? When you add up the guarantee over and what he'll make over the next 3 years, he's going to get that on this trajectory he's on already.
Right.
So why would he take that? Talking about 23, 47, and then whatever it is, you know, if they franchise him a second time, what that number is going to be. Why would he take that, right, when he's already guaranteed it?
It's always hard for us we don't know the number that's actually being offered to him. But my point is, I'm not going into my personal free agency. Don't get me wrong. If I'm him, I'm rooting for all these guys to make big money because I know I'm just as good as they are. My skill set is just as it is. I can. So now I got something to base it off on. I know where I want to be at, but I'm not going to turn down $46 million. I'm just hypothetically saying they offered me $46 million a year guaranteed money because I want to get 52, Brandon. I'm not going to do that. I'm just not going into free agent trying to be Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers is back-to-back two-time MVP. I'm not going to do that. The situation is totally different than mine. I think that's what's irritating about this because, one, we don't know the number. But the numbers are somewhere in there, man, you got to – come on now. I'm not going to sit there and fight for that.
So what if they offered – so I just talked about the top five. A-Rod, Russ, Kyler Murray, Deshaun Watson, and Patrick Mahomes, right? What if they offered – like Josh Allen just got paid. What if they offered Josh Allen money? Is that what he's supposed to take, right? Like, what is the market for a guy who came in year two and saved John Harbaugh's job? What is the market for a guy that came out right away and won league MVP and was the face of the National Football League and the way we now play football, changing the quarterback position, taking it to a whole nother level? What is the market for a guy like that? So you mean to tell me A-Rod can get 50, Russ can get 49? Why he can't get that? Why not?
I sat on the show with our other great analysts, such as yourself, and heard you guys tear Lamar Jackson down about his throwing style, about the way he plays is not going to last. I've heard you guys say all these different things.
No, not say you guys, not me.
Ask. You wasn't a part of the show yet.
Okay,
when we first started the show, I've heard these guys have these conversations about Lamar Jackson. Our producer Omar Kelly as well had his conversation about their style. His style is not going to last. So obviously, his market should be totally different.
So let me throw this out there,
and the Ravens are going to fight him on his money because his style may not last. Because
he might get hurt, right?
But he might get hurt, and he's not the same type of quarterback as Aaron Rodgers.
Let Odell defend himself real quick.
There's nothing to defend. Antoine is correct. Antoine is quoting me accurately. I do not believe that Lamar's style will last. Physically, I'm sorry, but you cannot run the ball as a quarterback 15 times a game and play 17 games in a season. It doesn't work. He's going to have to be eventually what a Randall Cunningham and evolve.
Okay, so let me ask you this question.
Quarterback.
Well, Josh Allen had 800.
Again,
hold on. No, time out. No. So Josh Allen, he rushed for 800 yards. Buffalo.
Yep.
Buffalo Bills quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's running the ball. He can go out there and get all that money. Now Lamar can't get it.
Lamar's
and
then this asking whole thing, for a lot more money.
Hold on. Time out. And then let's back it up now because like that is
but
the conversation.
But would you say that Lamar and Josh Allen are on the same playing field when it comes to their arm
before,
and passing?
Before we get there,
traditional quarterback.
Josh Allen. What over the last 3 years he's been developing? Josh Allen came in and the conversation around Josh Allen was like he can't hit the side of a damn barn.
That is true.
Right, and now all of a sudden through Brian Daboll and the development, and then also the. And that's a big thing that I keep telling people. Brian Daboll's offense and his approach to offense put him in position to have success with the guys around him. Lamar Jackson got Greg Roman. Greg Roman's phenomenal when it comes to the run game. But then when he calls it up and dial it up in the pass game, it ain't shit. Go back and look at Colin Kaepernick back when he had him in San Francisco. It was the same story. Came out, took the lead for a storm, and then all of a sudden everybody caught up to him because the things that he's doing in the off-run game don't match up with the pass game. So Greg Roman needs to be the one that needs to develop, and I'm tired of saying that. I've been saying that for 3 years, okay? So now you look at Lamar Jackson because I want to get back to what we were just talking about. Lamar Jackson, he get hurt. He's injury prone. Yeah, listen, this is a new age. Now we got Josh Allen's running. We got, Lamar Jackson runners. All these quarterbacks now, you got to be a dual threat. You have to do it. So we talked about him getting hurt. You said his ankle. I said, he got a bone bruise. When he got hurt, Omar Kelly, when did he get hurt?
Late in the season. And his team went
to the
playoff
contender. When did he get hurt? How did he get hurt? Do you remember? Do you recall?
No, I do not recall.
He got hurt in the pocket.
Yeah.
He got hurt in the pocket. He didn't get hurt outside the pocket. He didn't get hurt 20, 30 yards on the field. He got hurt in the pocket.
So hits don't accumulate.
It do. But for everybody, it's Russell Wilson, he also gets out the pocket too. It's just about how you take hits and can you get down, right? So I hear what you guys are saying. But guess what? At the end of the day, with all this being said, this is what we got to ask ourselves. If he was free, would somebody pay him $50, $51 million? And I would say, Ashley,
yes.
The answer is 100% yes.
Okay.
If he can get to the healthy point in 3 years after he's tagged twice and plays on a fifth-year option now, yeah, if you want to take that risk. And if you want to pass up right now, based on your calculation, fifth-year option is $25 million. Franchise tag is $45 million. Franchise tag for a second year with a 20% increase comes up to like 50. It comes up to 50 something million dollars. That's basically
she's going to get that third one right. That's where I was struggling.
I did the math. 124. Yes, the prices are going to go up because players are going to continue to escalate in the salaries.
Right.
But 3 years. If he plays the next 3 years on a franchise tag level, he's probably going to make $125 to $135 million. Why would you risk it of going through that to finally get to the point where you could be a completely unrestricted free agent? Why wouldn't you just go get your $230 million guaranteed now?
Hold on. We don't know what they offer him.
You're right. You're absolutely
We don't
correct.
Know that.
It sounds like, to be honest with you, just on the outside looking in, that like Omar, correct. It seemed like that guaranteed money ain't where it need to be right now. Look like what the Ravens thinking about. Cause it's like we all think it's a no brainer, but for every reason, it ain't signed yet.
Yeah, but this is what I would say. I go back to this. John Harbaugh, he saved your career. Or saved your job, not your career. He saved your job. He's a great coach, potentially even Hall of Famer. But he's probably gonna get fired.
Oh.
And recycled.
Huh?
And recycled because he would have been in the front of the line to get.
Doesn't matter, but he wasn't going to be in Baltimore. And then what? 6 games left in the season. They call who? Action Jackson. And Action Jackson does what? Take him in what?
Playoffs.
And then what happens the next year? Do what? Take him to playoffs and he get league MVP. Come on now.
It happened.
Come on now. Come on now. Pay the man. Pay the man. And pay the man what he wants. If he wants $50 million, get the man $50 million. If he wants $170 million guarantee, guess what you better give him? $170 million guarantee. Because what's the alternative?
Well, listen, before we go ahead and move to break, and we'll discuss Serena in the next block. But Lamar famously does not have an agent. Are the Baltimore Ravens taking advantage of that?
Ooh. I will say this. All right. So you can go on Instagram right now. Lamar Jackson is, you know, they have a couple days off, So he's down here in South Florida. He was actually in our facility today doing some business with Status Pro, a beautiful tech company led by Andrew Hawkins and Troy Jones Jr. Phenomenal. Yeah, partnership with Samsung and NFL, so many other investors
coming out with a very innovative game.
Yeah,
so and he's trying to. So he's cutting. He's worried about that deal and not worried about the big deal. Okay, go ahead. keep going. The big deal on the table.
Hold on.
Going back, it's not so much Lamar not worrying about a deal. I don't think that's the case. I think obviously he's worried about it. Obviously he wants it to get done. All athletes want to do is go out and play the game they love and win. They don't want to worry about the X's and O's and the ones and the twos and the commas. He doesn't want to worry about that going to a season. But are the Baltimore Ravens taking advantage of the fact of how Lamar chooses to run his business, not having an agent, keeping that money to himself? If he were to have an agent, do you feel like this deal would have already been done, signed, sealed, and delivered?
Hold on. First off, yes. But it's yes because they probably think that they're not capable.
Yes.
Who's not capable?
Lamar and his team and his mom, Miss Felicia.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So the answer is yes, but guess what? Guess who's going to lose in the end if they don't straighten up?
Baltimore
is going to lose, right? So, I will say this:
And dudes talked about this yesterday on the show, like all athletes should have an agent, this and that. Hell no. No.
Sometimes that 20% hurts to handle.
It's not 20% for them.
It's three. Sometimes
three.
It's well, one. I think.
Hold on. Here's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You can take it from
that's
here.
That's a good conversation.
I will say this, right? Like Lamar, when I was playing for the Miami Dolphins, going to Redeeming Word Christian Center up in Fort Lauderdale, I met Lamar when he was in high school. And I'm telling you right now, mom, they grew up in that church and grew up in that neighborhood. And I'm going to tell y'all right now, y'all know I like talking business. They're more than capable.
Way more.
Have you ever heard her? Let me ask y'all this question, Twan. Have you ever heard Miss Felicia talk?
No.
Have you ever seen her do an interview?
You mean like, I've heard her talk like outside of the media.
No. Like, yes. Like, and talk business and all
that.
Oh,
no. Yeah, no, never.
We've never heard it. And I'm telling y'all right now.
That's because real G's move in silence. But, you know what I'm saying?
But she's a black woman, so everybody's going to underrate her.
That's right.
And
there you go.
Listen,
what they say in that new Jay-Z song, before they overrate me, they're going to underestimate me.
Yeah, that's right. Listen.
Shout out to Weezy.
And people, Omar, you can take it in, or Twan, like, and look, y'all don't want to talk about certain things, religion and race, right? But on this show, we're going to speak facts too. You don't think that plays a part in it? First of all, a woman in business is a challenge.
Yeah.
Then a woman in sports is a super, super challenge. Then you put a black woman in sports, right? And then with Lamar Jackson, when we talking about Lamar Jackson, a black quarterback, is that, come on. You got
black quarterback who is different,
right?
Who doesn't fit into your
without question.
He's on Monday Night Football with dark shades on, with the chunk on, with the diamonds. He ain't changing.
Listen, for people who aren't familiar, Lamar Jackson is 954 for real. He is Broward County for real. That you go any city in Broward County, Lamar Jackson is everywhere. He is authentic to a T. So, Twan, last point on this before we go ahead and go to break.
No, I agree. I mean, I like what you said. I think I would agree with that, because she can make history, and a lot of guys may follow in those footsteps. That could be playing a part too. Like, you never know how this thing is going down. You may see more guys employing their mom to be their agent and all this thing. So it can set the standard for a lot of different things moving forward. So I do think it plays a part. Of course, they play a hardball, but you got to realize though too, we rooting for them and we want them to get it too though. But I think makes a good point. You don't know what the Baltimore Ravens thinking about. They may be thinking about that third, that fourth, or fifth year down the line, and seeing if he can withstand that same type of skill level and worry about the injuries. That's why they probably don't want to give. That's why they guarantee money there. But it's kind of messed up.
What did you say when we was talking about Donovan Mitchell and the Knicks? What did you say? Focus on the here and now. And that's what.
I'm gonna focus on the here and now too.
You want an inside look at the NFL with two future Hall of Famers? Let's go with Tom Brady, Larry Fitzgerald, and Jim Gray returns for the 2022 season.
What a blessing it's been to be a part of football history. Tom's experience always shows up in big games.
That means in-depth football talk and the best guests in the podcast world.
Come see me, and now you really Hall of Fame.
Come see Uncle Snoop in the studio.
Hear the best of Let's Go, dropping Mondays on your podcast feed up until the season premiere on September 5th. Download and subscribe right now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcast.
I Am Athlete Tonight presents Countdown to Kickoff.
Longer than any other line.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Listen, we're having an interesting debate of whether Brandon Marshall is a Hall of Famer or not. Obviously, he is. Hall of Fame, don't be stingy. Go ahead and let Brandon in, okay? I mean, there's some questionable names already in the Hall of Fame. That's a different conversation. But I'm Ashley Nicole Moss, Brandon Marshall, Antoine Walker, and we are going to dive into the Kansas City Chiefs and all things Kansas City. Now, listen, Andy Reid has established himself as one of the NFL's better coaches, delivering a 103-42 record with the Chiefs, and an even better one as a head coach altogether. Now, it's going to be interesting. Patrick Mahomes had his worst statistical year last season. They also lost a very, very talented player, six-time Pro Bowler Tyreek Hill, who's now, you know, in the 305, chilling with Tua. That's Omar Kelly's favorite player.
Tyreek, yes.
How do you think this is going to work out for the Kansas City Chiefs? It's going to be some adjustments. You don't have that weapon that you're accustomed to having, that Patrick Mahomes is accustomed to throwing to. There's going to be some guys who's going to have to get adjusted. How do you go ahead and build upon what you have?
So I would say this, right? Like sometimes when you lose, you know, a star like that, it crushes you, right? Because a lot of times you can look back and be like, oh man, this guy made up 35-40% of our total offense, right? That's a big deal. But when you look at how the Chiefs have done things, you got your tight end, Kelce. You got Tyreek Hill. And then Patrick Mahomes is making plays and getting the ball to the whoever the three or the four person is when he get outside the pocket. So they are kind of dynamic because they have options. And it's not just like he's just dropping back looking at Tyreek. I'm saying all it to say this, right? We've already seen them spread the ball around, get other guys involved, and play at extremely high level, right? I truly believe that this is going to hurt them.
Wow.
I truly believe it, right? Because some people think, and I'm talking like high football talk right now. So like stay with me here for the Omar Kelly's up. No, I'm just messing with you, Omar. But like it's a good thing when a quarterback can spread the ball out. It can make you better when you lose a guy like that and it forces you to spread the ball out, right? Because like now it's about the team. And I truly believe that's the best brand of football on the offensive side. But they've already done that, right? And so like they're over there thinking like, oh, we're going to be good. We're just going to plug and play and we're going to spread the ball out. Well, y'all already kind of did that,
right?
And like you said, statistically, that was his worst year. I don't think that we're, you know, I think that we've already seen the best of the Kansas City's offense.
Wow.
I actually believe that. I think they've already reached their peak.
Wow. Well, okay.
Let me ask you this question. Same cat question that I really posed when we was talking about the Broncos. I mean, Chiefs won the division last year. I mean, what's the expectations? Is it Super Bowl or bust? Losing an asset like that? What should we expect? Obviously, Brandon, you believe the Broncos are going to take over this division, but I mean, what's the realistic expectations for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Yeah, I think realistically, there's only like five, sometimes six teams, real teams that can say, you know what, we got a real shot.
You got your contender,
right? And they're one of them, right? When you play football the way the Kansas City Chiefs have played football over the last 4 or 5 years, especially with Andy Reid being there even longer, like that is it. It's about Super Bowls. That's it. All this other stuff, winning division, win the conference, then Super Bowl. No, for them, it's about winning the Super Bowl. That's it. So, it's Super Bowl or bust. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with that. That shouldn't be pressure for these top five, top six teams. It's okay. That's what you want.
I am of the opinion Tyreek Hill is probably the most dynamic receiver that I've ever seen in my life. No offense, Brandon. You were number two up until I saw Tyreek. The speed.
Don't gas this man.
No, he was. Well, listen, I always talk about when he first started practicing with the Dolphins. He had a stretch for like 2 weeks where he just dominated everybody. And he was like, all right, I'm done.
Sounds about right.
And then, but Tyreek, the stuff that I've seen him do in terms of speed, quickness, and acceleration, ability to score. I mean, this man is averaging 11.1 touchdowns a season. So, that's going to be hard to replace, even with a Juju Smith-Schuster and a Valdez scandaling. But I will say this. He's got Matt Nagy. Patrick Mahomes gets back Matt Nagy as his quarterback coach. He's a very good quarterback coach, and he can potentially help him read defenses better, dissect the offense better, and it could potentially help him get his game to the next level, whatever that is. Because remember, Patrick Mahomes admitted to winning the Super Bowl without knowing how to read a defense.
Right.
Which is ridiculous to me.
I just think that their best foot, like that, it doesn't mean that they can't win another Super Bowl. It doesn't mean that they can't dominate. I just think like, man, they went on that 2-3 year stretch and it was just magical. And I think that was the peak. I truly do. And I'm not knocking
one championship.
Mahomes. I'm not even Kelce. Like Kelce, what years?
Hall of Famer.
For real. Seriously. First, yeah. Right. Like, yeah, you still got Andy Reid and he's a Hall of Famer. He's a top three, top five coach of all time.
Best in the game right now.
You know what I mean? But like the best brand of football is past them. I truly believe that, you know,
it's
going to be interesting to see what the Chargers do this year. I mean, Twan, I was pushing back on you earlier, but you are right. Like, this is a loaded division, man. You know, all four of these teams best can go. You got Josh
McDaniels. Are the Chiefs no longer the best team in the AFC West?
I don't think you can say that. I think it's so close. Like you, like if we're really talking real, like how can you say that? How can you say that?
They got Devontae
Adams goes to the Raiders, and then even like Russell Wilson had two down years. Doesn't matter.
Okay, so who's your best team in the AFC West?
Best team, the way I would stack them.
You got to give me one.
Four. I'm going with the Raiders.
Okay.
Then I'm going to go three. I'm going to go with the Chargers.
Okay.
And then, two, I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I can't. Like the bromance is alive and well, ladies and gentlemen. One thing you can say about Brandon Marshall is that he's loyal.
Yeah, man.
Stay there, babe. Way to be consistent, B. I was worried about you.
He still believes in Jay Cutler.
Hot 10 hey, down. Listen.
Torn believed in Cutler, too.
Me, too. I believe in Cutler, too. I'm on that bandwagon. I was on that bandwagon. Too.
Smoking Jay?
He played like that sometimes.
Hey, make sure y'all get We Going Live September 10th in New York at City Winery. Go get your tickets right now. I Am Athlete TV / IAA Tour or something like that. Just go on Instagram or Instagram account I Am Athlete and all the links is there. Holler at us. I'm trying to get Jay Cutler
to show up?
The Chicago's live show.
Wow. Do they still like Jay Cutler in Chicago?
Yeah, they do. For the most part, yeah.
The way Omar looking at you, I don't know if I buy it.
Love-hate relationship.
I don't know about that.
It's a love-hate relationship.
Twan, y'all don't love him no more?
I don't know, man. I don't think that they all about Justin Fields right now, big fella.
I'm trying to get Justin too. Like I hit him up and he's looking at his schedule. That'd be dope too. But like, you know, any of those legends would be fire.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.